2006年度第2回実用英語技能検定1級二次試験面接。
1. Has technology changed education for the better? When I was at school, a lot of money was spent on buying computers and nobody really knew how to use them, including the teachers, many of whom felt threatened by them. Also, the technology was not very user-friendly in those days, and although it was felt students should stay abreast of new technologies, it had few applications for the younger generation. I can remember a classroom full of computers in my school that no one knew what to do with. They were more useful for business and scientific research. But now I think the situation is very different. Computers are more user-friendly, and many teachers have been trained in making the best use of technology in the classroom. Further, the market for educational software has matured, and material on the internet is specially designed for students. Academic websites, journals, and discussion forums are replacing traditional paper-based media, and the advantages in the field of education are enormous. So I think that although we had teething problems with education and technology at first, the situation is vastly improved now, and it has become almost hard to imagine a good education without technology.
2. How will the economic growth of China affect Japan in the future? Japan is an export-driven economy, and overseas markets are vital to the country's economic well-being. China and the United States together make up one-third of Japan's export market, and anything which affects trade with either of these markets could potentially have far-reaching effects for Japan. Fortunately, in recent years, China has adopted some economic reforms which have led to an exponential increase in the numbers of the new middle class. These are successful business people with comparatively high incomes in China, and they want to enjoy the same kind of goods that are available in Europe and the US. As more Chinese have more money to spend, this means there is a massive demand for Japanese commodities, particularly cars and electronic products which contain Japanese microchips. The future looks good as long as the trend continues and China's Communist Party can probably manage this move towards internationalization. If China can remain politically stable, and that is quite a big if, then Japan should be able to profit from China's growth for many years to come.
3. Prevention versus cure in the battle against crime. Prevention rather than cure is a mantra for a whole host of social issues, such as health or the environment, and it is especially true for crime. It is simply good sense financially to invest in people before they commit crimes rather than spend money rehabilitating them after they have become criminals. The cost of keeping someone in prison for a year is roughly equal to paying them a generous salary for a year. If this money were invested in prevention, it is likely there would be fewer criminals in the first place. The problem is that prevention is easier said than done, and this is because there are so many factors that have to be taken into consideration. For example, it seems likely that people are less likely to turn to crime if they have access to good education, housing, and employment prospects. Further, there should be a visible deterrent to would-be criminals, such as an effective police force and a system to monitor reoffenders. But with so many pressures on government resources already, it is not surprising we are losing the battle to prevent crime before it happens.
4. Do people today pay enough attention to traditional remedies and medicines? It seems to me that people do pay a lot of attention to traditional medicines. However, I believe the attitude toward traditional medicine is different in the West and in the East. In Europe and the United States, the progress of modern scientific medicine meant that herbal or holistic remedies were often dismissed as old wives' tales. Anything that was not discovered or verified by scientific research was thought to be nothing more than a placebo effect. However, in recent years, people who suffered from certain illnesses that could not be cured by modern medicine eventually found relief or treatment from traditional remedies like acupuncture. And so, over the last couple of decades, a resurgent interest in traditional therapies could be seen. In contrast, in the East, traditional medicine never really went out of fashion. It just kept pace with Western medicine. In many parts of Asia, a sick person is just as likely to seek Chinese medicine for their ailment as they are Western medicine. For example, if they have a cold, they take ginseng instead of, or as well as, aspirin. So I think traditional and scientific remedies both have a role in medicine today.
5. Win some, lose some. Is this a good attitude to have? It would be nice if we could win all the time, but I do not think that it is a very reasonable expectation to have in life. The truth is that even very successful people sometimes lose. What makes them winners at the end of the day is how they react to their failures. They learn from their mistakes and become stronger because of them. So we should not be too ashamed of losing and learning from time to time. The problem for me is that win some, lose some sounds too laid back, as though the speaker doesn't care whether they win or lose. And I think such a blasé attitude to life is not a good character trait. Instead, I much prefer the expression, choose the battles you can win. This is a rule I try to live by because I know I cannot have everything my way, and there are always things I want to change, but which are beyond my control. But if I am selective about the battles I fight and focus my efforts properly, then I can win at the things that are most important to me.